Done.
Hi everybody, it's another Thursday and we are back to have another conversation. And this week we had a request to speak about putting God first. So we're going to have a conversation about putting God first and how that looks like in our everyday lives as we go about on this Christian journey. So I think, Giselle, putting God first. So you're a pastor, and so when you're preaching, what would you say to people, you know, putting God first? How does that look like in your ministry and when you're ministering to people? Just enlighten us a little bit, please.
Well, first and foremost, as a woman, I'm a wife. Unfortunately, I don't have any children, so I don't have any grandchildren, anything like that. But I do have a husband to look after, I have a house to look after, and I've got a ministry to look after. And trying to put God first, it's difficult. And anybody that is, especially a working housewife, and has children, you all know too well what I'm talking about, because many days we hit the floor running. And it could be, you could be like Sidonie, you've got children, and the time you maybe plan to waken up at 6 o'clock to have spend time with God. But inevitably, when you plan that, it's as if the children can read your mind and they'll waken at 10 to 6. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. So it really is hard to do it. It is. And even with me, with having no children, I find it difficult to really focus and put God first every day. I explained to you two ladies about a little upheaval with the Pearls of Grace Ministries earlier. And that's meant for the past 3 days, I haven't spent time with God. Personal time. I haven't done my personal Bible study, and all because I'm trying to deal with half a dozen other people who need a lot more. So if somebody can really tell me how to do it, I would love to hear from them. I really would.
Okay, go. I kind of felt like, oh my goodness, I'm not the only one when Giselle was talking, because I don't know. I suppose putting God first is, I'm trying to think. Like the way I do it, first of all, it's something that I need to do more consciously. That's number
one. We probably all practice more of that.
Yes, not sort of having God in the background. But I feel like for me, it's more about just building a relationship with God, because I feel like the most practical way for me to do it is to just walk with God like a friend.
Right.
And then throughout your day, you're having these conversations with God, you know. And I feel like for me, that is a more workable thing, even though I have to say those conversations tend to come more when I'm angry about something. But I think for me, I want to cultivate this habit of, like, I would love to, like Giselle said, prayer be the first thing that I do in the morning. But I won't lie, some days, like, I've snoozed, my alarm clock is on snooze, and I've overslept, and I'm literally dashing out of the house, and I'm standing at the bus stop, and then I think, okay, let me play some worship music or something. So that is the one thing that I do daily. Like, I put on music. Sometimes I'm more focused than other times. Bible reading must improve. That one, if I had a report card, you have that every term. But yeah, for me, the most practical, if I look at my personality, is just really having this thing of walking with God as a friend, because a lot of my prayers are conversations. And it's something that comes very naturally to me. So I feel like if I worked with that pathway more and just incorporated God more in everyday things, then it becomes easier. And, you know, there are times when you will hear him very clearly, actually.
And like you, Naomi, my prayers are more like conversations. It really is. You know, I talk to him like I would talk to a friend, picking up the phone or something, and say, you know, hey, how are you? You know, and I just talk away. And when you're doing housework, but you know something, I've thought about it, and I really do think that the best way we can put God first in our lives is to obey his commandments.
Mm. Yes.
Mm.
Yep. And that's then putting him really at the center of our lives, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and one of the commandments Jesus gave us was first of all, love God, but love one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
he did, didn't he? Matthew 22:37 says, you know, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind.
Oh my.
That's a lot of love.
Yeah. But that imagine if we did that. It's a lot of, you would feel so good, right? Imagine loving God with all your mind. And I think for me, this is the issue, because sometimes, man, my mind wants to do other things, you know. But imagine, because there are times when if you really pray and you focus, I know the difference. I can feel it. It's very effective if you really decide that you're going to focus on God. It has an effect on your spirit. It really does. And I think that's part of it. But like loving God with all your mind means that there are times when you will do things that you really don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the difficult thing of submitting your will to God's will. But again, I feel like when you cultivate a relationship with God, those things become easier because you understand them, right? It's like there are times when we'll inconvenience ourselves for our friends or our family members. Mm-hmm. We don't like to get up at 3 a.m. to go pick somebody up from the airport. I don't enjoy that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. But you do it because, you know, they're your family or your friend and you like them and you love them. So if you didn't have that relationship with them, you wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same. Sometimes there are times when I really don't want to do something. But if I look at it and I think, okay, this is God's perspective on the basis of how I know he would feel, then it's a good idea to kind of step back or to say, okay, let me at least give this thing a chance, right? And see what God thinks. But I think for me, it goes back again to that thing of cultivating a relationship. It's just easier to do things with people when you like them.
And also that commandment from Jesus, you know, it speaks of intentionality. That's, you have to be intentional about it, you know. With all your heart, yeah, your heart falls in love, but your mind and your soul, you have to seek him out. You kind of have to be intentional about wanting to do things that please him. You know, Giselle, being intentional and loving him with all our minds, because we know, like, sometimes, and it's interesting because Jesus said with all our heart, our soul, and with all our mind, our feelings didn't come into it, because sometimes we don't necessarily feel like acting the way God says we should act. But Jesus is saying, put that aside and do what's right, because your love for God should, you know, should come from your soul and your mind. And so when we're as Christian, or even, you know, as women who are sometimes more so, and I know, you know, the feminists are going to come for me, but that's fine. We're possibly prone to giving into our feelings a lot more. How can we, especially, you know, that time of the month when you're EMSing, you know, you want to act the way you feel.
Well, thank you for thinking that I might still be going through that time of the month when I'm PMSing. Well, you know. that says I'm younger looking than what I am, really.
Exactly.
You are, G.
That was a straight out compliment. But no, how can we get into this thing where, yeah, we act on God's truth as opposed to how we feel?
Okay, really stand on his word. And you know, that word again, the feminists will probably come after us about, is submit to his word. And you know, if even as Christians, even some other Christians, so-called Christians, can say to us that you're hopeless. Now, I don't like talk like that. That's negativity. That's somewhat a type of a curse being spoken over you. No. God in his word doesn't say we're hopeless. He doesn't say we're stupid. He doesn't say we're nothing like that. He says we're precious. We're made in his image. And so we've just got to stand in God's word. But and yet it's hard to, I know, when that proverbial thing hits the fan and everything keeps going all wrong and everything. Yes, you know, you want to go, and off to a desert island or something someplace. But when we just sort of then draw back and just be still and know that he is God. Maybe that's it. Simple.
And you know, Matthew 6:31-33 says, do not be anxious. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God. That speaks to, you know, putting God first.
Does.
Yeah, and Gumene, you know, you're a career woman. You're working down in the city of London. How does that
make you sound so glamorous?
It is. Come on.
I wish I had a very glamorous salary, ladies.
Seeking first the kingdom of God as, you know, a single woman who's working full time. You know, you've got all these other plates that you're spinning at the same time. How, seeking first the kingdom of God, how does that apply in your life? Or how does that show up in your life? How does that look like?
Oh, wow. That's not an easy question to answer, you know. But I suppose it's asking God's opinion on things. So I can think clearly now of something that I wanted to do. And there were two ways of doing it. There was a shortcut that was not ideal. And there was sort of just chill. And this is where what Giselle says about being still. I'm learning that every day because I feel like sometimes we rush into things without asking God, especially if you know you're competent to do
something. You're trying to help God. So you're like, you're doing a Sarah.
I mean, sometimes even things to do with your life, I have to say that I look back now and one of the decisions that I've made in my life that is probably the proudest decision of my life, I actually asked God. You know, I look back now, I'm like, then I was, I've always had faith. I was just not a believer. But I think because it was a very important thing for me, I really wanted God's opinion and I wanted God's, for whatever reason, I've never really cared, you know, to ask God for things. But on this particular matter, I wanted God's approval. So I kind of got to a point where I was like, okay, if you don't want it, I'll grudgingly accept. Like I was in my 20s. I don't know where that came from. But I look back now and I think, wow, that turned out to be an amazing decision that I made. And I think I look back now at it as a testimony and I think to myself that I should do this more because there are times when I've just jumped into things. I can think of another decision that I made. It turned out to be a huge disaster because it would have actually helped me to ask for God's opinion. So I suppose for me, the thing is to, you know, just seek God. And sometimes you want a quick answer. You just want to be on the go. But it's really important that we run our ideas by God, big or small. Okay, there will be common sense decisions, right? You know, you don't have to ask God to brush your teeth. You know that, you know, but there are things that sometimes you don't even think they're that important. But every now and then, run your ideas by God, especially when you get those nudges in your spirit. If you don't feel so good about something, you know, stop and ask God why you're feeling that way. Sometimes as well, if you feel very excited about something, because you can miss it when you're excited. So I think for me, it's that. And really what Giselle said about being still, because there are times when, you know, it's very easy to get anxious when things are not going your way, or and every now, just remember that, just, you know, sit Psalm 46. I'm telling you, there's no psalm like it. Just read it. And the more you read it, there's a bit there that talks about the river. And I literally visualize myself just sitting in that river. Mm. For the moment that I can get myself into that place of stillness, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's a real, what I'm guessing here is that there's a real sense here that anxiety or worrying, and also the feeling of perhaps wanting to be in control of everything, can hinder that relationship with God and can
get
in the way of putting God first. Because I suppose putting God first is acknowledging that A, he's sovereign over your life and over all things.
Yeah. So, and also, you know, I think it's good sometimes because we're all different, right? And people have different levels of faith and how to express it. I think that our emotions are very real things. Mm-hmm. And they are there for a reason. Even God has emotions, right? Anger, sadness, you know. And I think I remember reading something where a psychologist was saying that emotions are like a thermometer. They are there to inform you of a situation. Mm-hmm. The problem is that a lot of the time we sit with emotions for too long. So, for example, if you're feeling sad, you should be saying, oh, why am I feeling like this? Mm-hmm. It could be, sometimes it's obvious, right? Maybe you went for a job interview, you didn't get the job. You know why you are sad.
So it's almost like they're a symptom. They're not the actual.
Yeah, exactly. Disease. So why do I? Then you do something about it. Okay, if I'm feeling sad because I didn't get that job, maybe ring a friend and just, you know, have a rant or whatever. So I think when we have emotions, I'm very pro not suppressing your emotions because they just come back eventually. So acknowledge that you're feeling that thing and you may need help in dealing with it, in processing it and talking to somebody. But yeah, deal with that emotion. And sometimes it's talk to God. There are times when I've said to God, look, if it wasn't for you, I would say it. If you're angry, God is one of the best people in this world to hear your anger. Voice it, you feel better. So yes, I would say if you're getting emotional about things, don't suppress it. But also if you realize that these emotions keep happening, they are usually a symptom of something deeper going on. And you might need a little bit more help, like maybe counseling from your church or from a professional.
That's it too. You've just hit the nail on the head there, Nagam. If the feelings, emotions are great. We were given emotions, so we were. They have to be used. But if you're getting too many emotions, too overwhelmed, too anxious, too worrying, we shouldn't be worrying, then you've got to look at what you're doing in your life and what you need to change. Are you putting God first? Or are you putting the world first? And this could be a whole conflict of your spirit. And if you are putting God first, then it could also be an attack of the enemy on you to take you off the
kilter. That sometimes.
Yeah, we do
sometimes
forget
that. Sometimes it's a full-on attack.
But
I love what you're saying, G. Because sometimes we forget that there can be a spiritual angle to this.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
And it's a very real thing. And I have to say that the more you, and this is why it's good to sit with God, the more you become, when you know, some people say when you know God, right, you know yourself. Mm-hmm. And you know yourself, right? I mean, you don't know everything about yourself, but there are things that you know. And a very good one is you will feel attacks when they happen sometimes. You will really do. And I'll tell you how I know. There are times when, if I wake up and I feel downcast for absolutely no reason, the rational part of me knows. I'm thinking, what is this? And I just know, okay, something is wrong here. And there are times when it's bizarre. You actually feel changes. Only your discernment can teach you this, and you will learn as you go. But I literally felt it in my body. And I got to a point where I was laughing because the rational side of me was very clear about what was going on. But I knew you would literally feel attacks in your body sometimes, like you said, G, or bizarre things will happen to you at work.
Yep.
You know, a manager would just do something very odd, or a colleague would do something very odd. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when you have those strange things, especially things that make you anxious or sad, just stop and say, hey, what is this? And sometimes God will straight up tell you, look, this is what's good. Yeah, there are times when you want to shout and you literally hear that voice in your head says, lower your voice. don't even bother. And exactly. Then maybe the next day you'll think, oh, this is what was going on. But I really like that point, because I think sometimes Christians will forget that, you know, these attacks can happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm gonna remember, you see, that the enemy uses people like our spouses, our children,
yeah,
our work managers, our colleagues and things to get to us.
Mm-hmm.
But really, when we are feeling like that, we need to sit down and think, is it something we are doing ourselves? Because at times I feel sorry for Satan, because he gets the blame of everything when it's our own doing.
Too much.
Seriously.
Yeah, I agree.
Seriously. We do have to sit down and take stock. Is it our own doing, or is it something else? Mm. While we were talking, I hit Professor Google. And first of all, I thought a man wrote this, but it's a woman wrote it.
Okay.
And
what's that?
I typed in, what is the order of priority of God? Okay.
Okay.
And this lady writes, there can be no doubt that the scriptural order of priorities is God, spouse, children, parents, extended family, brothers and sisters in Christ, and then the rest of the world. Now, first of all, when I read that, I thought, oh, crikey, a man's written this, because there's no mention of yourself.
Mm.
Yep.
Gee.
I'm really
confirms to me that a woman has written it, because women tend not to even think of themselves.
I tell you, certainly God and spouse, your children, your parents, yourself, then your extended family, then your brother. Because I think that's how I would put it. But we do need to look after ourselves.
Well, you have to look after yourself. You do, and I like that point, because, you know, there's that saying that you don't pour from an empty cup.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think if you see women really struggling, I'm sure men also go through this, but I speak just from a woman's perspective, because that's what I know more. But it's interesting you say that, because I was thinking about this yet today, and where Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, right? I think we forget the as yourself part. We are very good at loving our neighbor, but you have to love yourself. If you would take food to your neighbor when they are sick, you would listen to them when they have a problem. You know, you do all of that. But what about for you? So I'm very pro, you know, self-care in that sense. Like, look after yourself, because honestly, I really don't think anybody in this world can look after yourself the way you can.
Exactly.
And you have to be, to borrow your words, to be intentional.
Mm-hmm.
What does looking after yourself look like to you? Because it looks like different things to different people.
For
example, for Sidonie, right? It means eating peanuts and drinking Fanta.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best thing you can give this girl on this planet. And reading books and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And for some people, it might be taking retreats. I love to take retreats. I haven't done one for a while, but I really like the idea of getting out of London, going somewhere quiet, just sitting in nature and just enjoying life like that. For some people, it might be getting together with friends, you know, and, you know, going away for a weekend. But I'm begging you, women, please, in every society, every religion, women just have this way of looking after everybody and forgoing themselves.
Forgetting themselves. Yes. Yeah, that's
very
a good point.
Easy.
Yeah.
And worse for moms in particular.
Mm.
Moms in particular, like, you have to literally force moms to look after themselves.
Yeah, big time. Because if the woman who holds everything together in the household, if she ends up being sick by not looking after herself, who then looks after everybody in the house if she's sick?
No, that's a good point. And a good admonition and, you know, instruction that we need to look after ourselves better, because we're good at looking after everybody else.
Yep. I don't know how they even do it. You must have some reserves in that empty cup. Because, like, I know, right, when my tank is emptying, I know. And I'll get to the point where I'm just like, okay, stop. And even then, that's not a good thing. You have to wait till your tank has dropped so much.
Mm.
It's good to keep replenishing. But a lot of women, especially mothers, it's like, the tank is empty, but there's some extra reserve somewhere. Like, these women are running on empty. You can see that they are empty. And unfortunately, this is why sometimes, guys, people have nervous breakdowns. or they have a developmental illness. So these are very real complications that can come from this. Or even worse, sometimes people end up resenting their family members or friends. Because if you're doing all of that for people and you don't see them appreciating you, or you don't see some kind of reciprocity, it's easy to become bitter and resentful. Especially, let's say your children eventually grow up and then leave, and you're like, I sacrificed all my life for you.
Yeah, I'm putting you in a nursing home.
Yeah, really? It's really important that we, as women, and especially just based on my observation of moms, look after yourselves. And I think also those of us who have special women in our lives, it's nice for us to look after the women who look after us, right?
You know,
ring them, see how they are, go and visit them, you know, offer to babysit, you know, and kids. Maybe if we have young people listening, the holidays are coming, right? Help your parents at home. Do your chores, you know. Ask mommy if you can help with extra stuff, you know, and buy mommy, take your pocket money and buy mommy a present. You'll be surprised. Even if it's just chocolate, you know, even a bar of chocolate, surprise mom every now and then. And husbands, come on, bring those flowers, right? Turn up a bit of romance, help do stuff around the house too. It helps.
Come on, all my spiritual children. You know where I am. I want the chocolates.
Yes, exactly. Bring. Jane, what's your favorite chocolate again?
Anything.
Oh my, Jane's chocolate, babe, chocolate. But it's true. Let's really look after our friends, especially our friends who are mothers with young children. It's such a demanding thing.
Exactly. Exactly. I saw a poster. It was on an auction site, and it was an old vintage metal poster, wall poster. And I almost went to bid on it, and then I thought, nah, it's a bit too risque, because it's really vintage, and it's one of the old, like, glamour girls sitting, and she had a big bar of chocolate in her hand. She says, I don't know what the problem is, but chocolate's always the answer. I thought, yes.
Oh man,
that's hilarious. Some days, you know, Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established.
Yes.
And again, you know, if we go down, Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. True. And these are all ways that talk about, you know, us committing our ways to the Lord and he will direct our paths. And one of my personal favorites, Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And so, you know, if you are delighting yourself in the things of the Lord, he will make you desire what his will is for you, he'll make you desire. He'll make your heart desire what he wants for you. I know sometimes, you know, I've heard this preached, and some pastors have perhaps said he'll give you what your heart wants. But I don't believe that to be the case.
I don't believe. What if your heart wants somebody else's husband? You really think God's going to do that?
Well, I believe it to mean he'll give you what you should want and align it with his will for you.
Yep.
And so in this, you know, we have to pray and almost be intentional about, you know, Jesus is the benchmark, right? He lived the perfect life that we couldn't live. And so in dying, he takes our sin away. But then we also, in being born again with him in the resurrection, we also then get the Holy Spirit, which helps us to live the life that God the Son has set for us to live, a life, you know, and have life abundantly here on earth and thereafter. And the Holy Spirit will help us live that life. You know, but there's also that thing of, we need to let the Holy Spirit in. And we need to let the Holy Spirit do the work. Now, Giselle, obviously, when you're counseling people, and I'm sure you come across this as a pastor, and they come to you and they're like, oh, I'm really struggling for example, you know, and I hear this a lot with us, especially a lot of women, and they're just struggling with just feeling like they're enough. Because sometimes as women, we feel like we have a lot of plates spinning, you know, as we said before, you know, you have a job, you have a home, you have, you know, your spouse and your children and everything else. So sometimes we feel like we have a lot of plates spinning. And one of the sentiments that comes across, especially in the group, is this feeling of not being enough and not being good enough, but also not being able to meet the standard that we know is expected of us. How can you encourage people that are feeling that way and women that are feeling that way to say, you know, if it is, like I said, in the group, one of the things that a lot of women will say is, you know, I don't feel like I'm giving enough of myself to my children or my job or my spouse. What encouragement can you give them to say, you know, the Holy Spirit is with you, even though, you know, you do go through those days where you feel like I'm nowhere near the benchmark and I've failed, you know, so much and I've fallen short of the bar in XYZ areas. How can you encourage those women?
Well, if they're a mature Christian, I would slap them.
violent pastor, guys.
verbally slap them, because they should know that who they are in Christ, and that they are more than enough, and that they are doing more than enough. If they've got a good family, their spouse works well with them, their kids are all well brought up and everything, then they're doing a fantastic job. They really are. If they're a very new to the faith, then I would point out some scriptures where God is always with them. And no matter what they're doing, like, you, it's in Isaiah when we go through the waters, when we go through the fire, and in Psalm 23:4, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, it's always go through, not stay in it. And we are going to go through some trials and tribulations, because does God cause all the upsets? No, he doesn't. But sometimes he'll let us go through them to test our faith.
That was in Isaiah, you said, yeah. So,
because you're not going to walk into a primary second year and give a, what age would that be, like 5-year-old? You're not going to give a 5-year-old you're not going to give 6-year-old the keys to the brain surgery operating room, are you?
Oh my goodness.
No, they have to be taught. They have to be taught. So they have to be taught. And that's what God, I believe, does with us when he lets us go through some trials. He's testing us before he gives us keys to ministries, whatever. But it really does. What your question was to say, it really depends whether they're a mature Christian or a middle Christian or a newbie or just coming to faith. There's loads of scriptures to tell you who you are in Christ. And I think the most famous one is that John 3:16-17. He loved you so much he died for you.
So live in the scripture, guys. That's what he's saying. You know, and 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all scripture is breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness. But, you know, just backing up and going back to our original point, which where we started off with, which was putting God first, and how that looks like. And I think, you know, for me, we almost always have to kind of test our motives, our heart's motives. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks and the actions follow. You always have to test that and say, I think there was, and say, is this there's this bracelet that was going around at, I think it was the early 2000s, WWJD, What Would Jesus Do?
Yes.
Do you remember these?
They were like, I remember.
Colored wristbands that you get, and then people were wearing them. But I think there's almost that sort of sense to it, to say, you know, whenever you're deliberating something or perhaps saying something or doing something, maybe just stop and think, what would Jesus do? And it is hard in everyday busy lives, but perhaps if we start with our nearest and dearest, it will have a ripple effect.
Yeah.
Maybe just start with perhaps an area that you know that you're weak in. For some people, that's speech. For some people, before they've processed it, that they've said it, you know, and it might just be maybe they just think, actually, do you know what? I'll just practice being still. I'll just practice when I'm tempted to speak.
Yes, yes.
To be still. For other people, it might be anger. And they might just say, actually, before I give in to this anger, maybe I should think, what would Jesus do? WWJD.
She's bringing it back, guys. Hashtag this time.
And like,
hashtag WWJD.
The thing is, what we've got to remember too, because there's going to be non-believers listening to this podcast and everything later on. What we've got to emphasize is that we know, us three know, and loads of other believers know, but we know that when we do put God first in our lives, we get the strength, the guidance, the understanding, the knowledge, the wisdom, and therefore then that overflows onto our family life, and our family life is an awful lot better.
So, and we're not called to be perfect.
No, on our own
accord. Because the Holy Spirit is there to enable us in the process of sanctification. And sanctification is a process, and sanctification is just that process by which you become more and more and more and more and more Christ-like, which is this journey of being a Christian. And so we're not called to be perfect, but we are called to be committed to the process of sanctification. And we are called to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, to transform us, so that all things are washed away, and behold, here's a new creation. And that new creation, through the process of sanctification, becomes more and more and more Christ-like till the day we die. So, you know, we should be living a life that helps us to look more and more Christ-like the older we get, certainly in the faith, and the more mature we get in the faith. It's that process. So for, like you said, G, for those looking or listening in, it's not a call to perfection here and now, and it's not a call to say, you know, you have to be perfect, you have to get it right here and now, because, you know, you've given your life to Christ, we expect perfection from you, because we'll always fall short. Side of heaven, we'll always sin. But as Christians, we know that we'll get better. And we know that the Holy Spirit is there to help us get better in our journey. And we know that the Holy Spirit is there to encourage us, to strengthen us, to give us wisdom and strength where we lack it, and grace. And so, yeah, I think that was sort of an important thing to make, because sometimes it can feel scary, especially as a new believer. And we have a lot of new believers in the group.
Yep.
It can feel scary to go, oh my goodness, I've sinned again. And oh my God, I'm not perfect. You know, oh my goodness, you know, I've done this again. You know, I'm not a Christian because I've sinned again and I've done this again, or I've given into the temptation again, or, you know, I've lied again, or I've been angry again. And I think that can be disheartening for new Christians, as we've seen in the group.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's important to be assured that, you know, you're not called to be perfect, but you're called to trust in the perfect one. You're called to trust in the works of the perfect one, Christ, who has perfected salvation on the cross and in his resurrection.
That's it.
And that salvation, you don't have to earn it. That salvation, you don't have to work for it. That salvation, you know, it doesn't depend on your being perfect or your being good or you're not giving into sin or you're not giving into temptation. Your salvation doesn't depend on that. Your salvation has already been sorted out on the cross of Calvary. Justification for your sins has happened at the point at which you give your life over to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing you can do can take that gift away. It's a free gift. It's there. Once you've accepted it, that's it. And so, yeah, okay. It's just an encouragement for the new Christians, because I know we get a lot of this in the group, especially as we're growing and, you know, there are a lot more new members, just to encourage them that perfection is not what's expected. And your actions do not determine your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Falling for the 10th time or giving in to that sin or that temptation for the 100th time does not change the fact that you've been saved, does not change what Jesus has already done for you on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do is allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, to transform you,
exactly,
to become more and more like Christ. So
when we let the Holy Spirit transform us, change us from the inside out, mm-hmm. then we stop repeating the same sin over and over and over.
And mm-hmm.
my darling husband has a wonderful saying. I just love it. You know, the next level of stupidity is making the same mistake over and over and over, yet expecting a different result.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And you don't get a different result. And there are times that we do go back and fall into the same old sin over and over and over and over and over and over again. And that's just getting us down, because mm-hmm. then fighting against the Holy Spirit. So mm-hmm. with the Holy Spirit, let him change you from the inside out. It's well yes. worth it. It really
it is. For sure, for sure.
Yeah.
And so yeah, putting God first is WWJD.
There you go. There you go. Maybe we should get those bracelets again. Resurrect
they were,
them.
They
yes.
were a thing. Yes. They were a thing in the early 2000s.
Weren't they?
Mm-hmm. I had one. And you had like little windscreen stickers as well that you could put on your windscreen. Wow.
Yeah.
It was, you know, WWJD. And that is a good point of reference. You know, when you wake up in the morning mm-hmm. or you're faced with a situation where you think, actually.
Absolutely.
You know, and also just the normal things like you ladies said earlier, you know, you don't have to go to Jesus or to God as your last resort.
No.
Make him the first port of
the
call,
first.
There you go.
Which would be easier to do if you have that relationship.
Exactly.
Don't wait until the proverbial hits the fan.
Yep.
And then you're going helter skelter going, oh God, yeah, please
help me. Do you know what I find myself doing recently too?
Mm.
And I've just thought about this. Michael is on a total carnivore diet, and all he is eating is meat and eggs. That's it. No carbs
wow.
whatsoever. He's been on this now for 8 months, and actually the transformation him is absolutely brilliant. But with him having sort of just steak or minced steak or something like that and eggs every meal, I don't like that because I'm not a great meat lover. I eat a little bit of meat, but not a great meat lover. So I'm in a quandary of what. He's okay. He's sorted out what he's having for dinner, but what am mm. I going to have? So I now realize that what I do at night is I open the cupboard doors or the fridge or the freezer or whatever, and I go, okay, Lord, what are we going to have for tea tonight?
Mm. Oh, nice.
So there I'm actually bringing God into that, aren't I?
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when I'm grocery shopping, it's right, Lord, Michael sorted out what are we going to get for me?
Mm.
Yeah, you know, when I'm going to say we, I'm not talking about Michael and me, I'm talking about God and me.
Mm.
Yeah, so that is putting God first too, then when you're, you know, what shall I make? What shall I do? Mm. Where shall I go? Shall I
having
go
this that direction? Close walk with him.
Yeah,
for sure.
It is. Yeah.
For sure. Ah, thank you, ladies. This has been a wonderfully encouraging conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Very.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Can you please pray us?
Okay. So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence once more, to learn about you, directly by your own inspiration, Lord, and from each other. Lord, we just want to thank you for all the lessons that you've taught us about yourself today. And we walk away knowing that you are not a God of terror to be feared, but a Father who loves us, a friend who is always by us. And we pray, Lord, that in our own individual ways, we will be able to walk with you in ways that are meaningful to us, in ways that can have a ripple effect wherever we go. We just pray, Lord, that we get to know you more and more. Aww. Because when we know you, we really come into the consciousness of who we are. Lord, we thank you for always being there with us, even when we don't recognize that you're there. Mm. We thank you for the little nudges. Mm. We thank you for always putting us first. You don't need that opinion to put us first. But Father, we want to return that love. We want to return that favor. And we know that we can only do it by your grace. Mm. And so we come to you knowing that you've already granted us this favor. It is something that you desire. And we thank you for walking with us. And we know that as long as we stay in you, you will keep giving us the ability to put us first. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Right. Thank you.
Ladies, say goodnight to everybody on
good Facebook. Night, ladies.
Night.
And gentlemen.
Oh, yes.
Everybody.
Good night, Michael.
No, I meant gentlemen on that will be watching it on.
And gents, yes. Because we know.